So we'd like to welcome our panelists, who are our convention speakers. They are Brother Obi Albert, Brother Jim Parkinson, Brother Rick Sarasi, and Brother David Stein. I wanted to also mention that we've asked Brother Daniel Sarkovich and Brother David Walchek. Brother Daniel's from Canada and Brother David's from Australia, to participate somewhat with us in our discussion because they have two perspectives that we as the American Brethren don't necessarily have. And their experiences are going to be different than what ours are in the United States. So what we're trying to accomplish in this hour of time that we have is basically look and see what did we learn from this experience of being separate from one-on-one for most of us, face-to-face, personal fellowship and interaction in the ecclesia basis, and then what has it cost us as individuals and corporately, both within our ecclesias, but perhaps even maybe broader across the fellowship. And then what can we do, if anything, what recommendations, what suggestions can we come up with that would help us facilitate going forward? Because it looks like even if the countries, the nations, and the world opens up completely, there's so many blessings with being able to have a Zoom participation for our services and our conventions that most likely the ecclesias will continue to do that. And if that is done, how do we increase and build a tighter bond of fellowship? And how are we able to remotely help and encourage others as well? So that's where we want to go. My objective is to come up with potentially some recommendations, some good practices to go forward that the ecclesias can implement as they so desire or vary as they so desire. So that's where we want to go. So I want to just ask a couple real quick introductory questions because we come from such a different background in ecclesia environment. So our first question basically is just tell us a little bit about your home ecclesia. And what I mean by that is give us an idea of the size, your age demographics, where do you meet? Are you meeting in the homes? Are you meeting in the facility? How often you're able to meet together? You know, what kinds of meetings do you have? Just numbers quickly. And then last of all, how many elders and deacons? And that's just to give all of us a little bit of a flavor because we come from various areas and may not know the information. So that's just introductory. And I'd like to just start off with Brother Jim. Just quickly, you know, tell us a little bit about the ecclesia you consider your home or the ecclesias that you regularly attend, very briefly.
Okay, and that would be correct. Ecclesia is plural. When I first came out here, the average attendance at the Los Angeles meeting was 130 at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We no longer have a 3 o'clock meeting. And now, typically, we might be 13. In Covina, I think at the peak, we were probably over 20. And now there's really only about maybe 3 of us, typically. So the Zoom has had some beneficial results that one of the sisters says that after we get to meeting together regularly, she would prefer to do it her part on Zoom because she gets to the Orlando meetings this way as well as our own. The Covina meeting is still going on Sunday afternoon our time. And they've chosen to do the study on how to study Daniel, Zechariah, and Revelation. And so I'm a little embarrassed that Los Angeles on Wednesday evening has chosen to do Revelation also. I might just mention something on the side. Years ago, in the days of the Standfasts, Brother King Barrett said that in Victoria, B.C., they had an interesting meeting on Ezekiel's temple. And it was so interesting that soon they were studying it on Tuesdays and Sundays. And it was such a fascinating study that soon they were studying it on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. And then they realized that as their knowledge of Ezekiel's temple was growing longer, their tempers were growing shorter. they went back to studying it on Tuesday evenings. I don't know if that's going to happen with the Revelation studies out here, but we will see.
Thank you, Matthew.
That's fine.
Brother Obi, would you tell us a little bit about the ecclesias you attend?
Well, the Delaware Valley Ecclesia has as many as 15 in attendance, although we don't have physical meetings any longer. But the brethren have heroically adapted to the Zoom format. That being said, there are intangibles of fellowship that you cannot get by Zoom meetings. There are just subtle expressions, subtle inflections of voice or expressions of the face that can't be replicated through the electronic format. Nevertheless, I feel the Lord has blessed us richly with our studies. We're currently on Tuesdays studying the book of Luke. Brother Len Grice is leading that study, and it's a robust study. And actually, we have two or three others from other ecclesias across the country who sign into that and contribute. It's a real blessing. On Sundays, we're currently studying our main topic is the book of Exodus, which has been very fruitful. We did have an enormously blessed study of the book of Genesis that was all Zoom. Much of the ending of that was Zoom, and that was wonderful. But one thing we instituted in the class maybe 3 or 4 years ago was the public reading of Scripture, and that's taking off from Paul's admonition to Timothy, where he said, "Nevertheless, till I return, give attention to the public reading of Scripture." And we took that to heart. And part of that reflects an experience that Sister Janet and I had in traveling to India. We stayed at the home of Brother J. Raj outside Bangalore. And in the evenings, while we're singing at his home, we would open up a psalm. We would read the psalm and then make some comments on it. And I thought, how powerful this is, how peaceful, how restive this is. So we instituted that in our Delaware Valley meetings and started reading the psalms. And we initially read a psalm, Psalm 1, and then Psalm 2, and then Psalm 3, and then someone had a comment to make on Psalm 2 or 3, and more comments on the succeeding psalms. And it became really a devotional study that we use to open each meeting. And that continues to this day. We're currently in the book of Ecclesiastes, and how fruitful that discussion is. But it is all electronic, and we feel the Lord has blessed us in our pursuits there.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's a blessing. Thank you, Brother Aaron.
So you've pretty much been online for quite a while, and no longer meet physically. So do you have
some of our class live out of state and join us remotely, and have been doing that for years. Thank the Lord that the technology matured at the time when it was needed the most, and I think that's more than coincidence. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Brother Rick, your ecclesia and.
We are in the New Haven Ecclesia. When all attend, those who can't come physically and can, there's about 20 of us, 8 of which cannot attend because of infirmity or physical location. We do have some brethren out of state that attend regularly, and we've been doing phone-ins for as long as I can remember on that. So we have 2 meetings a week. We have just 2 elders in our class and 2 deacons. The demographics, you had the question of the demographics. We have one sister in her 20s, a couple of brethren in their 30s, one in their 40s, one in their 50s, and everybody else is 60 or older. So that just gives you a very quick sense of the meetings. Our Wednesday night meeting has gone to all remote several years ago, but our Sunday meetings have always been in person. And then we would have the phone calls coming in from those who were not able to attend or out of the area. And we have been on Zoom for those Sunday meetings since the pandemic, and are just beginning discussions on getting back to physical meetings. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thank you. And then Brother David, Stein.
Well, our brethren in Allentown, our class, like so many of the classes, has gotten pretty small. We started attending, Sister Kathy and I, in 1981, and at our peak with all the children there, because we had several families with children, we were around 28 or 30 on a Sunday meeting. So it was very nice. But now we've dwindled down. We only have six voting members in the class these days, three elders and no deacons. But it's been a blessing. Now, we have a meeting on Tuesday nights where we have some newly interested ones, and we are studying God's Grand Plan of Design, the booklet that Chicago puts out. We've been going through that for well over a year now. And our meetings on Sunday mornings, we have a manna study and a testimony meeting for our first meeting, and we are currently studying in the third volume for our second meeting. We do have regular visitors in our class, specifically Brother Russ and Sister Dawn Shalou join us most Sundays, and we are very happy to be able to have them. And on occasion, we've had others come as well. And like Brother Rick's class, all of our members are over 60. So again, no surprise, I think all of our brethren everywhere are seeing the advancing age, general age of the brotherhood. But we get along really well. And as I said, Kathy and I have been there 40 years. It's I can't hardly remember back in the days when we were in Jersey City when we first moved here from Arkansas. But that's Allentown in a snapshot.
Okay, thank you. Brother Daniel Sarkovich, can you tell us a little bit about the Bridge Vancouver?
I'll be happy to. Vancouver Ecclesia consists over 30 brethren on a regular basis that attend the meetings. On Zoom, we have 24 connections, typically. And our ecclesia is very diverse and dynamic class. Is a mixture of Canadian, Polish, and Romanian brethren. At some point, we had some even Moldavian brethren. And it's also a mixture of different age groups. We have elderly in their 80s and 90s. We have middle age, and we have young adults, and we have youth, and we have children, sort of proportionally pretty much all the same. We study, we have two studies, Sunday and Wednesday. On Sunday, we study the letters of Apostle Paul, and then we study also, we have a topical study, which is based on a topic that is selected by each family that we encourage, that is based on a reprinted article or a topic from any of the volumes. And then on Wednesday, we follow the life of Christ based on a book that was put together by Chicago brethren. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Brother David Walczyk, tell us a little bit about the Melbourne class.
Yes. So we're called the Polish Bible Students, but probably that we're already into the third generation after that. So, but it's still in Polish, and we have translations of all our meetings. So it's always in two languages. Our youth are very busy, as well as everybody in the ecclesia. So we have everything that's said in the meeting is often up on the screen, so we can see verses. So it could be, if we're speaking in Polish, then the Polish brethren have their verses in their hands, so we put the English verse up on the screen, or vice versa, depending who's speaking, is there a discourse, whatever. So yeah, we have about 33 consecrated brethren in our ecclesia. 14 would be young men and women who are our children, 25 or whatever years old. So 14 of them, and about 10 youth. So we have two Sunday schools for a younger, older group, and that would be the 10. Four elders, one deacon. We have three meetings on the Sunday. The first one is in English, and the next two are in Polish to respect the needs of those among us who still need Polish meetings. We have basically had a constant influx of brethren from Poland and, well, like marriage, et cetera, young families. So there's, a lot of activity that way. And both languages are still very current for us. We study Exodus in the first meeting in English, and then in the Polish we'd study James, the book of James, and In the last meeting, we'd studied a volume 5, but we also interact with discourses. We have testimony meetings, question meetings, etc., like that. On Wednesday, we have a meeting. That's volume 6 at the moment. It's been a tremendous blessing for us, as well as on some Friday nights, there's a youth meeting, and that could include youth from Perth, which is, you know, totally other side of Australia. We did a series of Saturday night meetings, listening to discourses and then discussing them, or different topics like that. So what else? I guess there's 3 ecclesias in Melbourne, so we're very blessed to have other brethren interacting with us. So there's a convention once a year in Melbourne, and we'd have now a Sydney convention, as well as a Queensland or Nambour convention, as the place is called. A lot of blessings from our dear Heavenly Father, and we find the more active we are, the more our children are active and involved and interested. So a real big blessing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So as you can hear, we have the representatives in our panel are very varied, and some have been doing the online studies for quite a while. Some have been doing the phone-in studies, and others have been just doing in person. And that's been pretty much Chicago's experience. We had one weeknight study that had gone to online. It was the phone-in at the time. And all the rest of our studies were all in person, whether it was the weeknights, the weekdays, or the Sunday services. So, okay, so I'm going to ask our panelists perhaps a very difficult question. What do you think your ecclesia's strengths are? And what I want to do then is also flip that question. What do you think your opportunities of growth or your areas of improvement are? And just a real short, quick answer, if you can, because we want to set this up going forward to, if we are going to continue with this as we are, is there anything we can do to help improve those and strengthen those areas? So perhaps a tough, difficult question, but what do you think your ecclesia's strengths are? And then on the flip side, what do you think your areas of improvement are? So we'll just start with Brother Obi.
I would say very briefly that the Delaware Valley Brethren have the courage to look at the Bible as the ultimate authority. And Bible study is
less smiling.
Probably our priority in our class. You know, the studies in the scriptures have been described as the keys to understanding the Bible, but having had those keys, each of us for 40 years or more, we have great liberty to delve deeply into the Word of God, studying the scriptures. That's our strength. End of comment.
Okay, thank you. Brother Rick, what do you think your ecclesia's strengths are?
I think the New Haven class is a very, very supportive ecclesia, and I know that's probably a strength in a lot of areas, but there is a very, very strong bond of holding one another up. And along with the following a little bit of what Brother OB said, brethren engage in our studies and they make them very vibrant. There is this just a tremendous, tremendous inflow. And then the outcome becomes very, very, very powerful. So I'm very thrilled by those things. And in terms of a weakness, what I'll say is, and it's related to COVID, it's related to being locked up, is a weakness. I won't call it a weakness, but I'll call it a challenge. Mm-hmm. And it's the challenge of being able to thoroughly re-engage, because it's been a long time and habits change and expectations change. And I see that as a challenge, not a weakness, but I see that as a challenge. Over.
Opportunity. Sure. Absolutely. Brother David, I know you have a very different situation than us, a very small ecclesia, but what do you think your strengths are? And then where do you think your opportunities lie?
Our ecclesia is very much like a close-knit family. All of the brethren in the class, save one, we've been together for 36 years. Mm-hmm. We've raised our families together. We've gone through that parenting phase in the lives and been able to share back and forth. And now as we see our families grow, there's a lot of commonality. I like the doctrinal unity in our class as well. Well, the brethren are very much of the same mind, and we enjoy the details of our study, being able to probe into some of the areas that that are familiar in more detail, and find additional ways in which we can support the truth. I think that the closeness is that history. Now, as far as challenges are concerned, we are now, again, like most classes, getting to that area where we are starting to need more and more physical support because of getting old and the maladies of old age. Having been together so long, we never really saw that much part, or rarely. But now there are frailties that are starting to creep in, and it is a door of opportunity for us to serve one another in ways that we couldn't before, to be supportive and help as our physical strength wanes. Again, to emphasize, we are just like a family. We've been together so long. We know each other so well. There's a great deal of intimacy and comfort within our class that we're very thankful to the Heavenly Father for. Over.
Okay, thank you. And Brother Jim, what do you think your strengths are, and then your areas of improvement?
I think that our strengths are that most of the brethren are much more aware of the brethren around the country and around the globe than perhaps we might have been 50 years ago. And there's a desire to work together. And the Los Angeles and Covina classes have had a lot of experience with that. There's a desire for public witness, but it's more limited now since the pandemic began. But we did have the fair booth going for 55 years, and it was still viable at that time. I don't know if we can do it again.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So what I'm hearing is the strengths of the different ecclesias represented is the maturity. And I really appreciate Brother Rick's comment about the vibrancy, you know, the participation. One of the areas of improvement for our Chicago brethren is that because we are so large, a lot of our brethren are a little bit timid to participate. And so we tend to sit back a little bit. And my observation is that many times it seems that they wait for an elder to speak. And as an elder, we don't want to be the ones that are answering the questions and asking the questions all the time. So we kind of sit there. It's like, okay, should I say something as an elder, or should I not say something? Well, to facilitate the study or the service, to help out whoever's leading it, you know, the elders will step up and step in. But I think that's one of our large areas of improvement. It really resonates with Brother Rick. What do we do going forward? Because in our own ecclesia, we've had some expression that, you know, I've gotten used to this, and I'm a little bit timid about engaging again face to face. So that resonates across too. I want to combine. I'm sorry, what you're hearing is my cat. He seems to be the polite word to say. I think he has an Alzheimer's because he forgets where we are. So he needs to constantly seek us out. So I apologize for that. But I want to bring together two questions together. So the first question is, what impact has the COVID-19 situation had on your ecclesia? And more importantly, how is your ecclesia addressing those impacts? Now, I want a deeper answer than just, well, we've been isolated, because we've all been isolated. But what has the impact been? You know, what have you discerned as an elder, or in your conversations and fellowships, what have you discerned is happening, and that's starting to raise little issues in your mind about, okay, we probably need to address this, and what do we do, et cetera. So I'm going to hand this question first to Brother Daniel and then to Brother David Walchek, because they have a very different perspective, perhaps, than what the United States brethren have. Brother Daniel first.
So, let me just briefly tell you that in the last 35 years, when I was in Vancouver, we had many difficult experiences, and as a result, we became a very supportive class. I will echo what Brother Rick said. And as a result, we find that we are like we aim to be a blanket for all the different age groups that are in our ecclesia, and we find that to be a big challenge. What we realize is that the Zoom or the pandemic experience is equal for everybody. So one of the thoughts that or desires that we had was to involve brethren, and this this situation created an opportunity when the youth can get involved and help the older in age, because we had to set up this Zoom platform and work with it. And then in the process of doing this, we realized that there are some unrecognized talents or natural talents that the young people have. And as a result, there became an international effort to create like a collection of recording of hymns and whatnot. When there is a synergy between youth in different parts of the world, when they can actually record the music in Poland and singing in Canada and maybe in United States, and they create this beautiful collection of hymns which we utilize in different convention. And also in the Vancouver Ecclesia, when we had a convention last year, the thought was to have translation and invite the Polish brethren. And as a result, it grew into creating this this group of brethren who actually utilize their resources and create a platform in which they translate a lot of the talks into different languages, mainly Polish and Romanian. And as a result, that unites actually the whole world, as the pandemic is actually equal to everyone. So I think that's...
Thank you. So you've taken the lemons in this situation, made lemonade, made a blessing out of it for both the youth and for the rest of the crew, Giuseppe.
Every diverse situation creates opportunity, and we were looking for that. So thank you.
Yeah, one of the things that Chicago did is, when we found out that Vancouver was translating, we said, well, maybe we should adopt that same technique. And so we've sprung board off of what you guys are doing, and it's been a blessing for our several last past conventions. Brother David Walchuk.
Yeah, so I'm trying to be mindful that I'm answering on behalf of all the brethren in Australia, not just our ecclesia, since that was the brief that we were given. We find that that COVID impact on the ecclesias, isolation, everyone, like I think I got back answers from 8 different ecclesias, and so isolation. So in most ecclesias in Australia, there's not many youth, so... It would be the elderly being isolated or left in an aged care center or something like that. And we weren't allowed to go physically there. And we couldn't really use technology for some of them because, they had their system, their process, and you can't send packages and set up this, computer or whatever in an aged center or whatever. So I think that's a problem. I think with the youth... it's a problem of, it's been mentioned, Brother Obi mentioned it too, that, you look at people, you watch their faces, you watch their expressions. That's how development happens in us. We know how to react. We know, it's the hands-on things too. And so the youth, I'm afraid for their development that way. Now, one of the brethren said that we are like sheep and flocks need to be together in these trying times. And the underlined aspect was from this other ecclesia that online studies are really essential, and they should be, especially with young starters in the truth. We need those volumes. We need the reprints. We find in our own ecclesia that if we just, because the brethren 40 years ago read the volumes and studied them and know them, they could just move on, as was said. But then we find we have young people in our midst who don't really know these things. And I've seen that in other parts of the world where the young people are developing without a grounding in the real basics of the truth. The suggestion was to have physical paper copies and to use them of the volumes, of the reprints, because the time could come when we won't have the internet. That's coming, we think. And so you're going to need your paper copies and not just need them on the bookshelf, but read them. So that's one impact there. Now, we found it was like Brother Daniel said, different talents developed, like really beautiful things. For instance, the brethren got together here. They found a whole stack of laptops. They programmed them so we can send them to isolated brethren. They just plug it in, press one button, and it connects to the meeting. So they don't have to be computer savvy, especially there are a lot of would be older folk, but they can connect directly into the meeting and talk and look and participate. So that was a real blessing for many of us, us on this end and them on that end. So yeah. Anyway, that's a little bit in short.
Okay, thank you. On our other four panelists, is there anything that you'd like to add, an observation or an idea that has come trickling up to the top of your mind, kind of tumbling up, and you think it's important and should be addressed? Brother Obi.
And difficult. The brethren really had a close relationship here in Delaware Valley, and we haven't had that for a long time. And needless to say, I commented earlier about there are nuances of personal relationships that you cannot get across electronically. Being a music lover, I've attended concerts where accomplished vocalists will sing, and you cannot, with the very best technology available in recording, you cannot record the nuances of the human voice to convey the tremendous emotional impact that they have in that auditorium. And it's the same way when we make this music together, so to speak, of the things of the truth, the things of the Lord, our love of the Lord. A lot of it comes across. We hear the words, we hear the notes, but there's something about the music that's not quite conveyed. Nevertheless, we love our meetings together, and we are so thankful for the Zoom opportunities. End of comment.
Okay, thank you. Brother David.
I have to reflect Brother David and Brother Obi's comment about the communication that we do by body language. It's been mentioned 3 or 4 times, but I think that is so vitally important. I completely agree with Brother Obi that the electronic medium just doesn't convey that. I think that in terms of studying, it does a great job. In Allentown, I don't notice that big a difference in the studies because you only have one conversation going on at a time. Body language isn't all that important. You're giving information back and forth and reading scriptures and things like that. So Zoom is very well adapted. But in between our meetings, we used to have a half an hour fellowship, where we still do. But with Zoom meetings, as you probably notice, unless you have breakout rooms, you can only have one conversation at a time. And so in large ecclesias in particular, I would imagine that this is a very difficult challenge because, even in Allentown with our small number, we might have 3 or 4 conversations going on after a meeting. You can't convey that in a Zoom meeting. And so that intimacy, as well as a little bit of off the record fellowship that naturally and takes place with in-person meetings, is missed. On the positive side, the Zoom meetings make it easier for brethren to be able to get together for study. It's a relatively easy medium to connect with, and especially for those dear brethren whose age no longer permits them to travel very far. Certainly, where meetings start to become challenging, that they're not going to get to conventions. And so the access to conventions through Zoom is spectacular, and not only in the local level, but the international level. I mean, look at Brother Daniel and Brother David here from different parts of the world. We're able to get together. And one other aspect, too, is that it's a lower expense. You know, when you drive to a convention, especially if you're going to a convention cross country, you might have airfares or gasoline and things like that. Being able to get to a meeting or a convention doesn't cost any more than your electric bill, if you follow my what I'm saying. So there are pros and cons. I am very, very much looking forward to, as I suspect most of you are, to being able to get together in person again, to be able to look into our brother's eyes and convey much more than is there with the words, and to enjoy that intimate fellowship and just feel the love that we have for one another. I miss that very much, and that's what I'm looking forward to. Over.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, my travel expenses are killing me lately. I don't have enough to claim on my taxes at the end of the year. Wow.
Brother Rick.
Yeah, I would echo what the brethren have said. And I just want to extend it a little bit further. In our class, just for instance, one, what I consider to be tragedy of the issues of meeting just on Zoom is we have some brethren that are elderly in our class who got to a point where they're not able to come out to the meeting. So once a month, we would bring the meeting to their house. And we would just all go, and it would be wonderful. And because of their family relationships and the pandemic, nobody is allowed to go near them. And because they're aging and having issues, even getting to them on the phone is just very, very difficult. So I view this as a dramatic, horrific loss. Now, I don't want to downplay the Zoom positivity that Brother David was just talking about, because it's all very, very true. But the challenge for me, and I'm going to be very blunt here, brethren, I'm not just looking forward to getting back to meeting in person. It's a lot more work. We have the meetings at my office, and I have to set it up and take it down and all that. I don't care. But the challenge is so much that I am not just looking forward to it. I see it as almost the level of an emergency of getting back together with those who are able. Those who are able. Now, some cannot. We have a sister who joins us from Tennessee. She can't, but that's okay. But to get there, to have Zoom in the room when you have those brethren together, because this is a great learning experience, being on Zoom at a convention, but it's not a great fellowship experience. It is a lack of fellowship. But we need to realize how important that piece is, and not get too comfortable without it. I'll leave it at that for now.
Yeah, thank you all. Brother David, I'm going to have to just bypass your comment. We have to go on. But one of the things that we all realize is that our brethren are perhaps a very strong asset that we all rely and depend upon. And it's the Lord uses our brethren to encourage us, to instruct us, to reprove us sometimes as necessary. So when we have that physical intimacy removed or restricted, then we lose on that, both on the giving part of it, the encouragements and the blessings from the encouragement, but also on the receiving part of it, sometimes for the correction that we may need. So God designed it. We are social people, and God designed us to interact socially. In fact, Ten Commandments, right? Your relationship to God and your relationship to your fellow man. I mean, that's how important this relationship is. So I want to step into our next question. So with the COVID-19 restrictions being released and lifted, what suggestions do you have to resume in-person meetings for your ecclesia, maybe, and then also just in a larger context of all the different ecclesias? So as restrictions are being lifted, you know, we may have some ups and downs where they're tightened up and loosened up and tightened up, and that's what Australia's experiencing right currently. But what techniques might you try to be implementing in your own ecclesias, and you suggest or recommend others try as well? Who would like to tackle that question first? Brother David and then Brother Odie. I'm sorry, Brother Rick, remember.
I'm just going to make a quick suggestion, and that is the first thing to do is take everybody's temperature. You know, they do that physically, but I'm saying take everybody's temperature emotionally. Ask the questions ahead of time. How do you feel about? Where do you stand with? If this were to happen, what would be your thoughts and your responses? So that you can get an idea of where people are. Because our brethren, where we're all members of this world, we all have different perspectives. And there are things that are belief-wise more important in our balance in one place versus another. And also, there are those who may have to be much more careful physically because of their potential for great distress as a result of COVID. So I'm just going to put that one piece out there for right now. Take the temperature of the brethren around you and ask and engage in a viable dialogue and do a lot of listening. Over.
Okay, thank you. Brother Obi.
Well, I like Rick's suggestion very much. I don't expect to just dive back in and pick up where we left off. There's going to have to be a little bit of reconstruction. And I think Rick's comment about taking each other's temperature figuratively, you know, take the pulse, see where they are, and then ease back into that. I think reassuring the brethren of our love for them, our desire to meet together is very important. And again, this is maybe just an Obi Elbert thing. I love music. I love our singing together and instrumental music. And I think very much of the statement in the book of Ephesians, where the apostle admonishes us in the fifth chapter, he says, addressing or be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And, you know, we have brethren who have done wonderful work in recording the hymns to play at the beginning of our meeting. And we join in, we sing. And I don't know about everyone else, but I feel like it's good to be singing, but I miss the connection of singing together. And I think one very healing thing is when we come together, just spend time singing hymns to the Lord. I think that that will help us recover. End of comment.
Okay, thank you. So let me ask, Brother David, go ahead.
I'm sort of going to repeat Rick and Obi just in a different way. We need to have a real sense of affection and understanding for our brethren. We have to deal with fear. COVID was a lot about fear. Now, somebody might say, well, it's irrational fear. Well, that's a personal opinion, but fear, whether real or irrational, is still there. And I also like Brother Rick's attention about taking the temperature, recognizing that some brethren are going to have some fear of this, and not chastising them for it or in any other way embarrassing them, but recognize that it's a real feeling that they have. And so we need to make accommodations. That's the loving thing to do. And once someone starts to address their fears, they can start to get to more comfort levels and whatnot. So there'll be that period of time when we are starting to get back into our old routines of doing things. And not everyone is going to come up at the same time, but have deep respect for the feelings of others and deep love for them as we go through it. Over.
Okay, thank you. Brother Jim Parkinson.
13 days ago, we had our first meeting back together. As far as I know, nobody is sick. About half the class was back together for it. But we have to be flexible because there's one that must not be exposed to anyone, whether it's brethren or non-brethren. And so we have to provide that Zoom is available in addition to the person-to-person meetings. And another sister likes the idea of being on in the early morning with Orlando and then being on in the meeting with us. And so I could say at least half of us want to get together. And so that provision we want to make available, and we're doing it on a plan now of at least once a month and see how that goes. But we also will have the Zoom to go along with it for those that either can't or have other preferences.
Okay, thank you. Brother Obi.
So the 800-pound gorilla sitting in the room with us all is the question of to be vaccinated or not. And I know that some brethren do not wish to be vaccinated. As a healthcare professional, I see the benefits of being vaccinated. The science is very solid. I think we've had maybe 6 people pass away from supposed complications of the vaccine, but we've had hundreds of thousands of people die from not having the vaccines. And even if we don't personally want to have the vaccine, if we know that it would make our brethren comfortable, if we know that it would make our brethren feel safe, why not? Get the vaccine.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, this is an honor preferring one another. Brother Rick.
Yeah, and I really, really understand where Brother Obi is coming from, and I personally identify with his position. However, here's the how this 800-pound gorilla just doesn't move. When we have different approaches to so many different things, we have to be very, 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 very careful that as we approach and say, well, why not do it for the benefit of others? And I agree with that. And I would want to hopefully be the person who would be willing to do the thing that I'd rather not do so others can benefit. However, if it becomes a matter of conscience for someone, then we have to be careful to respect that conscience and not to minimize where that conscience is founded. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody can say, no, I'm just not going to get it. And that's the end of that. What I think, and this is a Brother Rick opinion, okay, with a capital O, okay, I think that we need to be able to approach these things and ask the questions of the explanation of the conscience and listen, carefully listen to the answers and engage in a listening type of a conversation, at least at the beginning, and see if you can establish an ability to find a way to build trust. Because when we disagree, the first thing that goes out the window oftentimes is trust. And so I just want to caution to us wanting to make sure we're building that trust as we seek to find common ground. End of comment.
Okay, thank you. Brother Rick, you gave a service a couple weeks ago about conflict resolution, parts 1 and part 2, right?
Yeah.
And in the Chicago class, we've started some of this dialogue amongst the elder body. There's 11 elders and there's 7 deacons, so we meet monthly together, individually as elders and collectively with both the E and D body. And when we started this conversation about, okay, what do we do going forward, because we are such a large class, our typical Sunday will have 60 to 90 connections. And then we have our 3 services and 4 weeknight meetings or daytime meetings. But because we are such a large class, one of the obstacles we're encountering is just a physical meeting location. We were at a college and they're shut down as of right now. It's the end of the year. So we're starting to look at other venues. But we have one of the issues that came up was when our discussion was, well, we should immediately require vaccinations. And then there was the flip side of it. It said, well, wait a minute. There's this conscience part about others may prefer not to have it. So we're kind of staying right there, and conflict resolution may come to play in this. But one of the strengths that we have as an ecclesia is that we have such a diverse elder body and deacon body. And where my shortcoming is that always someone else picks it up and makes up for that and compensates for it. And so we're very thankful for that. But for us, the discussion is, how you bring 100 people, 80 people together with consensus without someone conceding. And this is where we get into the not preferring one another and also still honoring and realizing that there is a particular, perhaps a conscience decision, because it's a violation of the conscience to do something, you might be asking everybody else to do. So we're working through that, and which is honestly kind of why I also wanted to have this panel discussion as one of the members of the committee for this convention, because you, all of you, are helping us as a class trying to figure out how to implement something in a much larger body than most of you experience as an ecclesia. So thank you. Brother Daniel and Brother Dave, I'd like to give you an opportunity on this question. What have you noticed, and what suggestions would you make to help us bring our ecclesias back to the online? Not necessarily that that's the absolute answer, but to rebuild this fellowship and this bond of relationships. So I'll give you individuals an opportunity to address it. Brother David first, and then Brother Daniel. And please, we only have a lot of time left, so try to keep our comments short.
So, okay, what do we do to bring our fellowship back online? This is good because in Australia, we had a severe lockdown for a long time in Victoria, near where I live, our state. And we came back to meetings, and we've been having meetings now for 4 or 5 months. I don't know, maybe longer, I'm not sure now. And again, we're back into lockdown now. So we're going into the second cycle. And we found that at the beginning, when the meetings started, I would say half the people didn't want to come back. They were comfortable at home. And I think it has been mentioned already how detrimental it is not to have that physical connection with our brethren. And there was a verse mentioned that, don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, in which you've received from God. You are not your own, and you're bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And the comment was that that our bodies are about health habits, physical, social, and moral, and then lockdown is unnatural to these. So we need to, you know, that physical part is part of the new creature. I mean, it's we're in this envelope, we're in this body, and our young people, as they become new creatures, they come from being a full physical body to becoming a new creature, but it's a process. You can't develop that online, I don't think. And like has been mentioned, singing and all that. So what did we find? I first of all, and I noticed a number of brethren said the same thing. Come to the meetings because you don't know when you will be dragged back into your homes and not allowed to meet. That's the politics of the world, it seems, and it'll be ongoing. It's not a one-off. So when you have the opportunity to meet physically, grab it with two hands and with prayer and thanks to God. So that was our attitude amongst quite a few. But we found our ecclesia actually grew because of online contact and those who were elderly or isolated and couldn't meet. They are actually meeting now online, as well as the richness of physical fellowship. We had a bigger ecclesia too. So what to do? I really love what Brother Rick said about the conscience and respect for our fellow new creatures. If they have God's Holy Spirit, it means it's not like I'm right and they're wrong. Think about the Lord God can approach things from many different angles. And I believe we need to think and develop our trust in God. If God could save Daniel in the lion's den or in that fiery furnace with his accomplices, can he not save us from a germ or a virus? Of course he can, right? Meet together, fellowship together, trust in the Lord. Well, use your hygiene and other practices. Of course, it's we have to do that. But don't let that stop us meeting, because I think then the adversary is going to be chuckling and very happy that, yep, he's had another point. I think, yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Brother David. Brother Daniel.
Yes, I would echo the thought that we need to reassure each other that your safety is very important to me, and you are very important to me. I think that's we are all longing for this. We know this, but we need to show each other how important we are. As much as we love to be close physically, we need you to feel comfortable to do this. So how do we do this? I think we need to be very respectful of each other's differences. And one of the thought that I would, a suggestion that I would have, would adopt something that brethren in Poland do, as some classes will actually have a physical meeting of the same bubble, if you speak, of the same family, and that is Zoom, and everybody who wish to connect connects. So that will be sort of joining the both worlds. But we should never attempt to feel pressure anybody to do one way or another. One other thought that I have is that I think, you know, we are very heavy on the convention, Zoom conventions at the moment, and we might sometimes neglect the local groups or local ecclesias. So in Vancouver, we actually implemented this, that we have like a local classes that we connect on Zoom. And I think that's is very helpful to us in addition to the conventions. In fact, tomorrow is the first Canadian meeting when Canadian classes will join together across the country for the meeting. But this is the localized meetings will also be another avenue in which the reconnection could happen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, Brother Obi, you know, we're coming down to the very end. We were going to close with a hymn. We're going to forego the hymn so we can take a couple more minutes of time. So Brother Obi, your comment, and then I have one quick last question.
Okay, thank you. I'm sure that we have all noticed in the news, the current events, that the world has become enormously polarized. And that polarization has crept into the Bible student movement as well. I am thankful that in a rational manner, we've had an exchange of thought tonight, pro and con, about the vaccines and about meeting together and the concerns we have for the safety of one another and the urgency we feel about getting back together again. It's my hope that if our larger conventions are able to be in person again, that they'll be robust and that we'll have sweet and wonderful fellowship. I'm looking forward to that day. But I thank all the brethren for their input tonight, both in discussion, and I see there's some chat also that has been very poignant. And I just thank you, Brother Aaron, for your leadership in this discussion tonight. And it's a start. This is not the answer, but it's a start. Thank you.
Okay. Well, yeah, we're right at 8 o'clock. So let me just real briefly capture just a couple of thoughts for this last couple of questions. So some of the actionable items that we can implement in our own ecclesias, but not just within our ecclesias, but in our own personal lives with our brethren, is to listen and take the pulse or take the temperature metaphorically, right? So, and then as we're listening, understand, try to understand the basis that they're coming from. Is this a fear? And the thing about fears is that though they may be irrational, I'm not saying it is, though they may be irrational, they are real to the person that holds them. So what I might not be afraid of, someone else might very well be. And we need to respect that difference. I think Brother Obi mentioned that, you know, we maybe want to do this incrementally. So let's do something that we can do collectively together. So maybe more devotionals in our services, maybe more hymn singing, maybe more scripture reading that we can do collectively together, etc. Watch for the incremental and try to do this in incremental stages. So those were the kind of things that I took away from the last couple of questions that we asked. I know that in the Chicago class, we've been talking about perhaps having our local brethren meet together as family pods and then dialing into the meeting together from that, as Brother Daniel mentioned, which Poland is currently doing in some ecclesias. So we're talking about that too. I want to just open up real quickly, real briefly to every one of our 6 participants. One last takeaway. If there was one actionable item that you would recommend for your ecclesia or for even another ecclesia as something they could implement, just one item, what would you suggest? What would you recommend? And we'll start with Brother Obi, and then we'll go to Brother David Walchek next. Just one item, if you wouldn't mind.
God is in control.
Okay, thank you. Brother David.
Do not lose your love for the brethren, for God, for the truth. God is in control. There is one other thing. Oh, yeah. Our consecration is a dying process. What are we afraid of? Trust in God. He won't let you go until your job is done. That's what the saying is amongst the brethren. Thank you.
Okay, Brother Rick. And then we're going to ask Brother Daniel.
I would say beware of the subtlety of mediocrity as we approach this. Not sit back, but let's be aggressively working toward resolution. Beware the subtlety of mediocrity.
Okay, proactive. Very good. All right, Brother Daniel.
As much as we are aching for the physical fellowship, let's do it wisely and let's do it respectfully to everyone. Let's not overdo it in a hunger of being together. Thank you.
Okay, Brother David and then Brother Jim.
As Brother Obi said, the Lord is in control. This experience we've had with COVID has come at a crucial time here at the end of the age for the church. We've had an intimate and very important part of our fellowship taken away. It's going to come back. And I think this experience should teach us the value of that just before we get into even more severe things in the near future. Over.
Okay. Thank you. And Brother Jim, last comment, please.
I think if you're sick, stay home for a week or two. Otherwise, just have to determine that vaccinated or unvaccinated, get together as you have opportunity and make the Zoom available for those who either can't or prefer not to for other reasons.
Okay. Well, thank you all very much. I want to respect our time. We're a couple minutes late already. I want to thank all of you individually and collectively for your participation, and a special thanks to Brother Daniel and Brother David. We put them in a little bit awkward position in that they're representing, you know, a much larger area and they're not officially part of the panel. So thank you very much for your willingness to join with us.